Disclaimer. Please do not email us about the historical inaccuracies we are sure to make. We are not historians. We are idiots.
Hi, and welcome to
Anachronismo!
We are doing a special episode this week. This is our Halloween Spooktacular. We are coming to you with three special guests and two negative hosts that are usually here, named Jackie and Noel.
They're ghosts.
Yeah. Ghosts.
So, I, as usual, am Max.
I'm Lauren. I am going to be talking about Danvers, a la Salem Village, the Witch Ginger Museum. I am a former employee actor at the Witch Ginger Museum and a descendant of the residents of Salem.
Too spooky.
Greetings, friends. It is I, Emily Lavardier, a.k.a. M. Lav, also former employee of the Witch Dungeon Museum, tour guide and dungeonette extraordinaire. We'll be talking to you about some key players in the witch hysteria, such as Tituba, the house servant, Giles Corey, and the evil George Corwin.
What a dick!
Such a dick.
I'm Brent Mitchell, and I was a former employee of the Salem Trolley. So basically, I know everything about things that are not the witch trials, but I also played Bridget Bishop in a witch trial reenactment, where I played Bridget Bishop.
Whoa.
So I'm going to be talking about Bridget Bishop and the pretrial examination process and maybe some other titty bitties.
I am so excited for all these titty bitties and ookie spooks.
We will ook and spook accordingly.
Salem is the ookiest and the spookiest.
Oh, it sounds utterly kooky. Yes. great. I'm also so glad that I don't have to prepare a story for once. It's going to be just a relaxing boat ride for Max.
You're going
to a boat ride straight to hell.
No.
We were pious people. Well, they were not.
No, Salem in 1692 was not a nice place.
Ooh.
But still, not quite a lair of hell.
No.
Just a sad time for lots of people.
Like a purgatory.
Like a really rough purgatory. Like it's like pre-hell.
Like a place where cat witches went? Purgatory?
Nice. Yay! Nailed it. Hashtag nailed it.
Great. So who's getting us started?
I am. So I'm actually from the town of Danvers, and many people hear Danvers, and they don't know what it means. It's actually Salem Village. Mm-hmm. Way back in 1692, Salem was well over twice its size than it is today. Mm-hmm. And we had the town of Salem, which is modern-day Salem, and then Salem Village, where the majority of the hysteria actually happened, which is now the town of Danvers. It's very amusing today, because if you go to the town of Salem, all the museums are there, all of the tourist traps, and everyone goes there saying, like, I'm here to hear about the Puritans and the witch hysteria, but they're in the totally wrong town. Danvers is only like a 15-minute drive, but there are no museums aside from the Rebecca Nurse Homestead, which is like a respected museum and not a tourist trap.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. And that's it. That's all there is. There's most of the original houses with plaques on the doors saying who lived there, but aside from that, like, Danvers is like a nothing town about witch hysteria, but that's where it actually took place, in the town of Danvers.
Huh.
Danvers kind of wiped their hands clean of
Danvers
that whole...
Danvers understood it was a wrong, bad time.
It was a really nice memorial.
Changed their name.
Not like old Salem constantly profiting over burning people,
I mean,
assume.
No, sir.
Okay.
Drowning people,
I
assume.
Okay, no. Okay, so,
hanging people.
Okay, yes,
good,
yes.
Good.
So in 1692 in Salem, hanging and drowning and burning, like, burning happened in England. Mm-hmm.
Germany.
Yeah, in Germany. But hanging, you would hang witches in Salem because it's considered a felony. Which would be death by hanging.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, and what was it in England? It was considered
heresy.
It was considered heresy in England. Mm. And that's why it was punishable by burning. So no one burned here. They all got hung.
There was a book that was hanged. There was a book that was published called the Malus Maleficarum, which basically...
Oh, the Hammer of God? No.
It was... I forget who wrote it. It might have been a Mather. I'm probably wrong, but it was like, actually, it was probably like
Con.
I don't know. But anyway, it was like about like how to detect witchcraft and like how bad witchcraft is and like all the signs of witchcraft and what to do about this thing that was called witchcraft. So this was actually a book. Actually, it was written in Europe, so I don't think it was Mather. But it was like the Mathers like loved this book. I'm sure we'll get to them later.
Oh, something I forgot to add. A lot of the hysteria, like I said, happened in Danvers, and a lot of people who were accused, who we're going to talk about today, lived in Danvers, and witches were accused in Danvers and all that stuff. But the actual trials did have to happen in the town of Salem, because Salem was by, the water, a port, so there were more officials living in Salem, so that's where the trials could take place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the hysteria itself was predominantly
It's now like a career services building in Kodo, a Japanese restaurant.
But yeah.
It's a bunch of buildings, like it's a bunch of stores.
So,
sorry, witches were tried and stuff Japanese restaurant?
Yeah, Kodo. Oh. A lot of
If they couldn't eat an entire plate of sushi, they were a witch.
I could have gotten away with so many spells.
Yeah.
Matt's
I believe N Lav is going to talk about how exactly the witch hysteria started with Miss Tituba.
Yes. Now, let me set the scene for you. let me paint you
Act 1.
We open on Salem Village. It's the winter, or early spring of 1692. They had just gone through probably the worst winter ever. Lots of death. All the crops died. Humans' crops are all dead. There's a lot of rising tension amongst the adult men over land boundaries, and they're all pissed at each other.
They just got the charter back.
Yeah. So things were just all askew in Salem Town. Meanwhile, in the home of Samuel Parris, when he came to Salem, he brought with him, beforehand he was in the West Indies, when he came back, he brought a servant with him, and her name was Tituba.
And he was the reverend.
He was the reverend of
Salem.
He was
the edgy reverend that they brought in.
No, he was the reverend who's the only person who would take the job.
Yeah. Well, basically, that's what it was.
Yeah, so he was new.
He was a loose cannon. Played by his own rules.
Yeah,
a failed merchant who decided to become a reverend and was given the worst area.
Yep.
But
you know, all these whole bunk people, they need guidance. You guide them. And he was he was super guidey too. He was like, there's hell going on. Look at these savages. Look at the crops die. Like, he went all out, and people in Salem Village were like, fuck, this guy is serious.
No, his intent was to save. He was going to save these people.
He was
going to
give them a hell of a savings on the Eucharist in bulk.
All right, we're getting off track.
Aren't we, though?
Salem is always off track.
So Samuel Parris, the Reverend, he had a daughter named Betty, and she was about 9 at the time. And she and her little friend Abigail Williams,
who was seven.
Say, yeah,
a lot of people think she was 19. She was 7.
She was 7.
Yeah. She was not Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
The crucible is false.
That's false.
She was 7. She was a child.
She did not seduce John Proctor.
Okay, I just wanted to know. She was 7. She was a child. Okay.
Okay, so these two children. Now, I should probably also preface before we start talking about Tituba, that like children in Puritan Salem basically were not allowed to have fun.
Yeah.
They were expected to be silent.
You stood when you ate.
Yeah, like speak when spoken to. Like they just life was pretty bleak for
like Puritan adults basically.
Well, a lot of things were illegal. Mm-hmm. So like singing, dancing, writing, drawing, telling stories, anything really fun.
It was all considered acting out and the devil.
Actually, we did a previous episode of Anachronismo on things the Puritans outlawed, including Christmas and bowling.
I mean, anything of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
except the Bible.
Except the Bible. That was the only recreation you could seek.
Read that Bible. Oh, what do we do for fun today? Well, we can read the Bible. Okay.
Actually, but they couldn't read, so like.
Oh, yeah, so.
We can listen about the Bible.
So these kids just did nothing all day. And Tituba, in helping these young girls, you know, learn their duties, the chores and housework of a lady of the time.
She was their nanny.
She was their nanny. She took care of them. Like, she hung out with them more than any of the other parental
Mary
units
Poppins
did.
Mary Poppins of her day.
She truly was. She was the OG.
Some
say Mary Poppins was a witch. So too could have been Tituba. Now, she just practiced voodoo in her homeland of Barbados, which was not necessarily witchcraft. It had some values of the occult, but she just used like very light practices to like show the girls these little games that like children in Barbados would play,
like normal humans who play games as children.
Games?
Normal, unrepressed.
So this was like Mary Poppins teaching children to sing, and, except in this case, singing was outlawed and also the devil's devil. Work. The
devil. Oh, she was having them sing and dance. Like, we're talking double whammy double here. Devil.
Yeah, like Footloose times 20.
Wow.
So the stakes...
No John Lithgow.
The stakes were high, but not yet. The children were having so much fun. And then one day, sweet little Betty Paris got caught singing and dancing, rolling around on the floor, having some sort of ridiculous seizure of sorts.
Like a normal child
like a normal child
playing today.
Just hanging out, being...
When they're like, hey kid, like, get up off the ground, stop it.
Literally like, my life, yeah.
She was just wiling out. Like a kid who had too much sugar because the nanny turned her back and then the kid went into the cookie jar. So that's all it was. But then the reverend and some of the townspeople saw and they were like, nay. What demonry be this? And first of all, Betty was very taken aback that adults were even speaking to her.
She's a child.
Yeah, like what they were
a child female.
They started interrogating her, and she'd never gotten that much attention in her life. That was very like three men were speaking to her at once.
Red flag number one.
Right. So we're already heading down a slippery slope here.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what to say, and so they started asking her like, is Tituba a witch? And she was like, I don't know, I fucking guess. And,
sure, why not?
Yeah, because
sure,
like she,
fuck it.
Yeah, so
you said
fuck. She's possessed.
Slippeth the table. The Lord be not in this house.
Out, Malfagor, Lord of foul language.
So, the reverend, ashamed to have brought such a sinful creature into his home. And, just the shame that hung heavy on his brow. So he took Tituba aside and he said, listen, are you a witch? Have you bewitched my daughter?
If you're a witch, you have to tell me. Otherwise,
it's now, did he, like, in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, was he Dumbledore and Tituba's Harry Potter and he, like, pushes him against the wall being like, are you a witch?
Wait, Dumbledore didn't do that.
Yeah, in the movie version.
Why would he ask Harry that?
No, he was like, why was your name in the goblet? Why was your name in the goblet?
Oh, okay, that's different. That's a different...
Did you put it in there?
I'm just connecting that.
Harry, are you a wizard? Did Hagrid tell you you're a wizard? He shouldn't have told you that!
That's literally how I picture the situation is in comparison.
Did you put your name in the goblet of fire?
Did you commit witchcraft on my daughter?
Are you a witch?
Can I add something actually about Tituba and how they there was folklore about having to find out if the girls were kind of possessed, and one of the things they would do is they would mix the girl's hair, I think, with dog urine and put it in a cake. And,
the witch cakes.
Witch cake. And Tituba wasn't going to do this if it wasn't for some douche named Mary Silby.
Mm.
The reason I know this is because I played Mary Silby in a movie that still plays in Salem on this day.
She's famous.
Let me pick up that name. But that is kind of one of the... She was kind of one of the catalysts in the whole, like, let's find this out. And, you know, Tituba did do these things. Like, there was, like, a game where she would crack open an egg and it would go in a bowl. And like, it's,
oh yeah, and they can
see,
like,
your
see
future.
Your future.
And
yeah.
I guess one girl saw her coffin and flipped her shit.
But really, like, that's what small children do today.
Look,
that's what small children do today.
They didn't know what children were.
Let's play on a Ouija board. Oh my gosh, it's a ghost.
Let's play spooky bones.
Let's find
a skeleton and just kiss it.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. We broke Angela's arm.
Continue on about this.
Yeah,
we're getting off track.
So
that's kind of how this podcast goes.
I like things to be in order.
Well, you know what wasn't in order? Salem, 1692.
Oh, good God, the order was gone.
Fit right in with those Puritans.
No,
Puritans.
Lauren, I think, is a Puritan of our group.
She is. Okay. I can't see your ankles.
Stop. All right, continue.
That's how we know.
You're spending too much time egg gazing and not enough time history talking.
I know. Oh. They want to hear history. We need to educate.
So Tituba, she admitted to knowing practices of voodoo, but she insisted that she was not a witch, because she wasn't. She was just... No,
this
she
is
just...
my life.
This
she
is my
a
life.
Nanny, taking care of children, telling them stories.
She was making them happy. In the midst of all this, Tituba realizes that... I mean, she's got nothing to lose, really. But she ends up confessing that she's a witch... and she also pulls a couple other ladies in town into her confession. She said that Sarah Osborne, yep, I believe, kept a creature in her home that had the head of a woman and legs. So I guess it was just like a head and legs and no torso.
Wait, like the hooker doll in
Toy Story. I was just going to say that.
Those legs go all the way up.
Now picture like all these witches, like, familiars are just the misfit toys from Toy Story and Sid's room.
The ones,
the baby head with, like, the spider, like, connect legs.
Yeah, that's... That's what
my familiar would be. That's my aesthetic right there.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
maybe
yeah,
Sarah, spider legs.
And Sarah Good was another one that they called out.
Yeah, because she was like kind of like one of like the town like harpies. Yeah, yeah. And she people just thought that she was just bad news. So Tituba pulled her into it, and then she was accused of witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Tituba was, and then the meanwhile, these little shithead girls. Like, they really liked the attention they were getting.
Stop, but their parents were also egging them on.
That's true.
You have to remember that the people in 1692, there was big disputes over land. So they were encouraging their daughters to point out neighbors or enemies to be witches. So
they were like, if you've seen one, you must have seen another. Who else is a witch?
Yeah. So when you're telling a seven-year-old, like, who's the witch? Is it Mrs. Nelson next door? She's a witch, right? Your seven-year-old's going to be like, yeah, Mom. Yeah.
Yes, Mother.
Yeah. Yes, Mother.
Anything you say, Mother. Now, please, feed me. Yeah. Please, you're the only one who cares.
Keep speaking to me.
I always feel bad for these girls.
I know, I feel bad, too.
I always feel bad for them.
Well, some of the
older ones might have known better, but the little ones...
Oh, the little ones were all like, and this is amazing.
The majority were little kids.
Yeah.
They were second graders.
Yeah.
There used to be a whole theory that, like, oh, kids can't lie. They haven't learned sin yet, you know. Total... Kids love lying. They're just bad at it.
Infants can lie. I learned that.
What?
I know, infants... This is off topic. But infants can lie.
That's sweet.
Babies can really soon, early on, figure out that if they cry, you will come to them.
Mm.
Even if they're, like, not... Even if they're, like, perfectly calm, but they want attention, they'll cry like they're in pain or something. So go to them. So infants can lie. And this is off track.
That's good to know. Yeah. So an infant could accuse someone of being a witch.
Yeah, they could. Infants are witches.
I feel bad for the girls.
No, I do, too. I did not mean to call them little shits. However, I'm sorry.
Speaking of land disputes, what about...
So Tituba confesses to witchcraft, right? Now, as more and more people were accused of witchcraft, it became a huge thing because some people realized that if a person were thrown into the dungeon for accusations of witchcraft to await their trial, that meant that their land was up for grabs. So Sheriff motherfucking George Corwin, King Sadist of Salem, is like, all right, let's make some money. And so
he
jailed so many people.
150, right?
150, yeah. Yep.
I'm picturing him as that character from that Mel Brooks movie, Land, Sea Snatch.
Yep. He was that guy. But like to an even like more evil degree. Like this dude was not... nice.
Like they would look out for widows because widows technically couldn't own land anyways.
Yeah, so they were just kind of like, you know, get them out of there. Yeah. But you know, once men started becoming accused, it was usually because then like George would either, you know, he'd seize the property and either maybe hang on to it or sell it to the highest bidder. So this guy was making all sorts of dough and was loving this witch hysteria.
Corruption was on high.
Jumping a big cigar, being like, "Yeah, the witches, see, they made the cigar into a cone shape like a witch's hat. That's to tell her a witch.
It also doubles as a witch's nose.
God, man,
I'm clever."
But the curse that was put upon him was really pretty solid.
Well, enter Giles Corwin.
Oh, hell yeah,
such a sweetheart,
king shit.
I heard he was a dick.
No,
he was a good. He was a good guy.
Heard otherwise. I heard that he was like a crotchety old guy that no one liked.
Okay, but here's the thing. Well, he had beliefs and morals and wasn't gonna tolerate.
He had two wives.
Is Giles Corwin the more weight guy?
For those out there, this story you've probably heard many different variations of.
And left, tell it.
I will.
Tell us the story. So, it was Crushed Man.
So in the midst of people either, you know, sticking to their guns and saying, yes, I am innocent, they would await their trial in the dungeon and suffer. Or you could Yeah, you could say you were a witch. Like, you'd still lose your land, but then you could just go. You could just leave Salem.
You'd be put in jail, though, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, for a little bit, for a little bit.
But you've confessed your sins.
Yes, so...
They can't keep someone who's confessed their sins.
Exactly. So they would eventually be just set free. And, that was Tituba's deal. Like, she had nothing to lose. So, good for her. And, yeah, she went on and... I think she went to Ipswich. One of the neighboring towns. But Giles Corey. Nay, mon frere. He thought this was bullshit.
He had a lot of land, too.
He had more. Land. Oh, Sheriff George Corwin wanted his land something fierce.
He was thirsty.
Mm-hmm. So, Giles Corey refused to enter a plea. He was accused by one of the girls. I'm forgetting which one off the top of my head. But he just refused to enter a plea, and so they threw him in the dungeon. And then when he went to trial, he still refused to enter a plea. So, enter Bloodlust George Corwin with his torture methods. Now, in addition to pressing, he would also do things to make people confess. Not just like he put people in the stocks and like flog them publicly until they confessed. He would like tie their like ankles up toward their neck in such a way where they'd be like hanging until their noses would bleed.
What?
Like this
it's
dude
so uncomfortable if you're not very flexible.
Yeah,
so, I wouldn't do
so
well
wait,
with
where,
that.
Like if you were a woman, would your like bits just be hanging out?
No, because you have so many layers.
Yeah, there are a lot of layers in those petticoats. Yeah. Like
I know, but still, like you're just like, I don't know.
I don't think they were totally upside down. I think they're...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I was like picturing just like being like, hey. And then like they're in the town square, just their like, vagine is out for the town to see.
That's the devil.
Yeah, the vagine is a devil. You don't want that out in Salem.
And all those Renaissance paintings of the devil, you know, they paint it over it so it looks like two horns, but those are really two labial flaps.
Yes.
Ew.
No, it's true.
What?
It's true.
All right, keep telling the story.
Right.
Back to Jasco's feet of labia flaps.
Slapping on. Furthermore, so George Corwin is just gonna have a field day with Giles Corey, literally. He takes him out into a field behind the dungeon. And he strips him down naked and lays him down, puts dug like a small ditch. Giles is ordered to lay in it. They put a board on top of his chest and they continuously add stones of varying weight onto the board. And this lasted for 3 days. And every so often, they would either, like, force-feed him and try to get him to confess, and he wouldn't say shit. He wouldn't even cry out from the pain. All he would say is the famed two words, more weight.
Can I add a quick tidbit to this?
Thanks.
Apparently, like, you know, somewhat, like, soon before his death, his tongue popped out of his mouth.
Gross.
From the pressure, and Sheriff George Corwin with his cane stuck it back in there.
Oh, you
sick.
Need that tongue to talk.
Yeah, it's like.
Well, he stuck back in. He was like, "Get that tongue back in there."
I need
you
to confess.
Up. Yeah,
they made one of those stress dolls out of a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, his eyes were bugging out like Glenn in that episode of Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's based off of Giles Corwin.
But
yeah.
What a good man not participating.
Oh, yeah, he the whole village was damned. Like, he didn't want to be around it anymore.
Yeah.
And so, just as he was about to, like, his lungs were about to collapse, he managed to utter, and I'm not sure of the exact phrasing, but he placed a curse on the town of Salem, and specifically George Corwin. Like
and the sheriffs of Salem.
And all the sheriffs of Salem to follow him. May they be damned, and he died. Giles Corey was 81. That is like double,
so
nearly
old.
Triple the life expectancy back
so
then.
Old
he was
back
so
then.
Old. Like, he outlived everyone. He went out like a badass.
Dang.
Yeah.
And Sheriff George Corwin.
Sheriff George Corwin, at the age of 30, died of a heart attack.
Oh.
And here's the twist of the curse. Almost every single sheriff after Sheriff George Corwin, including some of the Essex County sheriffs that is now part of Salem, have died either of a blood clot, heart attack, or
some heart-related
disease.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes. I think the last sheriff right now is like fine. I think he's like one of the first lately that's been like okay. And apparently, it was a position that was like ooh, the cursed position. I'm running for Essex County Sheriff. Oh, good luck with that, pal.
When George Corwin died, at that point, he died after the trials had ended, and you know, once everything came to pass, he wasn't exactly very well liked in the village anymore.
No.
So much so that his family members were afraid that people would find his body and dismember it.
Yep, yep.
Because he was the unliked.
Where is his body buried, Ned? Where was his body buried, Em?
Underneath his house, which is now the Joshua Ward House, became the Joshua Ward House, which is now a hotel on Washington Street in Salem, haunted by
Sheriff George Corwin
himself.
I was really hoping that when she asked, where is he buried now? You're going to be like, well, it's buried in Salem, and Denver, and Concord, and Lexington, and a little bit in the sea, and some inside some dogs.
Mm-hmm. Actually, still alive. They just recently found out a couple years ago, actually probably even like less than, where the actual Gallows Hill, where the accused were hanged. There is a Walgreens.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's the one near the hospital. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not on a hill because I guess documentation said that because a lot of the families would take the body secretly by like water. Mm-hmm. They would go in a little boat and what's the percentage? I think it's like more than 50% of Salem is landfilled.
Yeah.
So that's now a road, and there's a Walgreens. And someone I heard made an awful joke about like people getting hanged in the pharmacy section. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
That's sad.
Yeah,
only not a good joke. It's
only
sad.
When they buy Viagra.
Yeah, man. But there were like a lot of people that were executed in the witch trials, like. That, like, Rebecca Nurse is probably one of the saddest.
Oh, so sad, because she was just an old woman.
She was, like, loved by everyone. And she was, like, so popular. Like, you know, like, that little old woman in your town that, like, I don't know if anyone has these, but, like, the one that, like, is always there, maybe giving you chocolates, or, like, just that is present in the city, and that just, like, is always doing everything.
Yeah, my grandma was one of those.
Yeah.
Well, your grandma probably would have been the Rebecca Nurse of her day, because the girls called her out, and everyone was like, oh no, not Rebecca Nurse. So when she was tried, she was originally found innocent.
Right.
Which is really interesting. But then the girls, like, they flipped their shit. They were rolling the floor, writhing, freaking out, screaming. And then all the magistrates were like, oh wait, we're going to think this over. Mm-hmm. So they, like, talked and were like, we take that back. She's actually guilty.
And the thing I want to point out about the girls is they knew at this point if they were found out to be lying. Lying is this, like, so lying brings you to hell. And so they would have been in huge amounts of trouble with everyone. So they knew at this point they had to go all out.
Yeah, because lying was punishable by death.
Yeah. So they had to go all out, even for poor Rebecca Nurse.
Yeah.
And the Rebecca Nurse homestead is in Danvers right now, and it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful.
Check it out.
And it's not hokey like a lot of the museums in Salem.
It's
like,
respectable.
I love the museums in Salem, but there are a lot of hokey tourist traps, whereas the Rebecca Nurse house is just, like, a beautiful estate. To, like, go
drive
and
out.
Just, like, learn.
Go to Texas Roadhouse after. Get some buns.
Okay, that's a little further away.
But there was one person that I have a soft spot for this woman, but I also think this woman sucks.
Bridget
Bishop.
Yeah. she's complicated.
She was the first person to be executed June 12, 1692. But let's paint it before that. Bridget Bishop was seen in the town. Everyone thinks she owned a tavern. That is bullshit. She did not own a tavern. There was an apple orchard in her family. She was married thrice.
Thrice
times. And first time she was married was in England. Her husband died. She came over to Salem, and she was married. I forget the guy's name. Oh my God, it's like leaving my brain. Anyways, there was a time in Salem where they didn't have a formal charter. It was revoked by the church from whatever king and queen it was at the time, meaning they couldn't make formal laws or go to formal court. Well, they could make formal laws, but they couldn't go to formal court with anything. So while the charter didn't exist, quote unquote, Bridget Bishop and her second husband basically were like domestically abused each other. They fought, hit. He was terrible to her. She was probably not that terrible to him, but like he was a jerk. And I guess he was working on his roof, and he suddenly fell off the roof and died.
Woof.
And there was one person that said they saw Bridget Bishop's apparition pushing him off the roof and killing him because they would fight in the streets. Like, it was, they were very notorious for being, like, domestically, yeah. Like
Ike and
Ted and Al Bundy times, like, 38 and no charm.
The serial killer?
No, I meant, Ed Bundy. What's Al Bundy?
Alan Pegg?
Alan Pegg Bundy. What did he say? No, that's from Married with Children.
Married with Children, yeah.
Okay. Peg and Al Bundy minus the charm, more domestic
abuse. Did they have any charm?
No. No, they did. Oh my God.
I didn't like that show.
Peg Bundy is like my spirit animal. Anyway, back to Bridget Bishop. She is married to some bishop. I forget his first name. It's been a while. And the charter comes back. And it literally comes back in, like, 1691.
Hooray!
So, all these, like, things that people couldn't present, like, 10, 15 years of, like, people couldn't go to formal trial for all this witchcraft accusations. All, this is one of the reasons why the witch trials happened so suddenly, so fast. Because this charter's back, and now everyone can come forward with these accusations.
Boom.
Yeah, so it was a floodgate. When they were like, charter's back, oh, I got these accusations, write her. This is from like 12 years ago.
I've been stockpiling these in my barn.
Binders full of witches.
Yeah. No, that's nice. Literally what it was, though. So the pretrial examination, people don't realize there was a pretrial examination before the actual trial. This is where everybody that had something would come forward and they would present their grievance against the accused of whatever they accuse them of witchcraft for. Remember, this is like 12 years of stuff. So Bridget Bishop had a whole list of people. Almost all of them had grievances against her, whether it was land disputes or she was just rude to their family, or it was crazy.
She was dog.
There was this one guy, her neighbor, oh my God, what was his name? Anyway, I'm having trouble with names, but okay. One of her neighbors came forward and was like, you know, we had a fight over her apple orchard, and, you know, her apples were going over our orchard and everything, and, like, it was this whole thing. And he was like, yeah, and I, you know, I argued with her, and her wind brushed up against me, and I, like, fell, and like, stuff like that. And Bridget Bishop she wasn't the nicest person. She was, you know, she was, like, in her 50s. She was pretty crabby, it was said. She wasn't, like, she was very cold, but she was also very, like, she had money. Like, she was married to Edward Bishop. That was his name. Yeah. And he had some money. So, obviously, she had money, and she showed it off a lot. So, people were very turned off by that. And Bridget Bishop, I think, either Sarah Good or Sarah Osborne, one of them said something about Bridget. Or the girls did, too. So, anyway, pre-trial examination. You were brought into a house, usually Jonathan Corwin's house, which is now the Witch House in Salem. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This was one of the magistrates or judges at the time. And you were brought in, and you were sat down, and you were interrogated and questioned about your witchcraftness and being accused. And, you know, what do you plead? And majority of the time, you know, Bridget was like, I'm innocent. I don't even know why I'm here. Like, she was brought to trial before, but there was no charter, so they couldn't bring her. And there was only one piece of evidence against her, and that wasn't enough. So, like, you got a lot of evidence now, girl. And she's like, no, I'm still not a witch, so shut up. So, like, all right, we'll bring you upstairs. Bunch of nurses and doctors strip her naked, and they look for marks of the devil, like a mole, or what they call a witch's teeth.
Yeah, but it's really just a molar.
Yeah, this is where it was believed, and this was in the Mass of Africarum, where the devil's familiar would suck the blood of a witch to pledge allegiance and all that jazz. Yeah. And they found one between her anus and pudendum, which is basically in her grundle.
Deep in the grundle.
They found like a skin tab or something.
Yeah.
Betwixt
and which would be we consider a skin tab, but it was a witch's teat. So they were all aghast. You know, first of all, they're looking at a grundle. Well, they're midwives, so of course they know that.
Like, this isn't the first grundle we've seen, but it is the most evil.
This is the most evil of grundles. Anywho, so she's brought to the pretrial examination where everyone presents their grievances. It's basically like a big town meeting. So everyone's stuffed in the town hall. I think this was actually pre-trial examination. I think it might have been in Salem Village.
Yeah, it probably was. Growing up, I went to Highland Elementary School, which is right in the heart of Salem Village, aka Danvers. And my friend lived in what was the old Ingersoll Tavern. which has a huge barn, which they would host a lot of meetings in.
So, Bridget Bishop.
There were also carvings in her bedroom floor, and we're always like, which carvings?
Oh, hell yeah. They probably were.
They probably were some sort of Salem carving.
Well, Ingersoll is like a big name, and yeah, because they had money and stuff. Mm. So, Bridget Bishop is brought forward. A bunch of people come forward, and one of the people that come forward is Reverend Hale from Beverly. Reverend Hale went in her defense with her earlier trial, where she was accused in 1680, and they were like, oh, we don't have a charter, so and you only have one piece of evidence, so whatever. And Reverend Hale's like, I'm coming in your defense, but look at all these people against you. I'm taking back my defense. And Bridget's like, come on. Like that guy in ESPN, oh, come on, that guy. Anyway, she, you know, because anyone listening to this podcast knows ESPN very well.
Right, we don't want to generalize. We don't know.
Okay, so I know, I'm so sorry, everyone.
Okay, keep talking about the pretrial.
Okay, so at the end, the pretrial, the magistrates would vote whether to bring her to formal trial or not. I actually think because the Cry Innocent show, we have like the audience pretends to be the jury and they vote. I think it might have been, I don't know if it was a town vote. I don't think so. I think it was just the magistrate's responsibility. So if you were guilty, that was pretty much a death sentence because you were going to go to formal trial and 99% of the time, minus Rebecca Nurse time, you were going to be considered guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you could have, like you guys said, that you could be let off is if you just confessed.
Yeah.
But Bridget Bishop, strong head. She's a strong woman of her time. She, you know, she's independent. She did her own things. She had three husbands. She had two daughters. And I think, her husband and daughters were not present at either a pretrial examination or the trial. They wanted nothing to do with it.
They probably didn't want to get accused.
No, they didn't.
Or, you know, see their wife / mom slandered and murdered.
Yeah. So.
A lot of conflicting emotions. Yeah.
Bridget Bishop was. It's sad. And then she was, you know, obviously she was guilty and she was put to death. She was the first.
Yeah.
Except guilty of what?
Guilty of what? Being 19. A strong, independent woman.
Right? She don't need no man.
She needed three, so.
She wanted, not needed.
That's true.
She chose them. Yeah. She chose to berate them in the streets.
I think actually probably the, you know, everyone thinks Giles Corey is the saddest story. I think Dorcas Good is the saddest story.
Dorcas Good. Witch
trials.
I heard he was a real Dorcas.
Hey, now.
She was four years old.
She's a baby.
So,
sweet little thing.
Do you mind if I tell the story real quick?
I've been completely and suddenly turned against. I guess.
Witch.
Witch. That's how it worked.
She was so young. She was so four. She's four, and she was accused of witchcraft.
Because her mom was Sarah Good.
Yeah, and Sarah Good was like the beggar woman.
Apparently she had a pet, like, snake.
You know what? Who did it back
she probably just like, found snakes a snake were, like in the marsh because it's Salem.
They
it's
probably
not a marsh.
Couldn't afford any other pet.
So yeah, they just had the snake. Well, I don't think you bought pets. I think you just like found an animal and you're like, this is mine now.
I know. They couldn't afford the food.
But like the girls are like, her snake is her familiar, and they're like, oh, and you know George Corwin, you know so many morals, was like, I'm gonna throw her in jail.
Yeah. And the jail was the witch dungeon.
Oh, yeah, tell us about the jail.
I'll tell you about
tell
the
us.
Witch dungeon.
Oh, wait.
Can be a little more careful about talking over each other. It's not going to come out well. I love the excitement, but also it's going to sound very bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you.
Sorry.
All right. So the witch dungeon is where you went, essentially, after you were accused to await trial or after trial. And the witch dungeon was teeny, 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 tiny. They didn't anticipate so many people to be accused of witchcraft, but there were. And it was essentially, if you know New England, picture a size of a normal New England basement, which is unfinished, and then picture like half of it. That was essentially the size of the witch dungeon. It was very dark and dank. It would very constantly flood. It was horrible, disgusting, infested with rats. And also you had to pay for every single thing in the dungeon. So you had to pay stay in the dungeon, you had to pay for your shackles, you had to pay for your food, you had to pay for absolutely everything. So in addition to your land being seized and maybe sold off to the highest bidder, you're also, you know, putting up money every single day for your stay in the dungeon, which you didn't choose to be there, but you still have to pay for it. So it was another way that officials in the village made money off of the witch hysteria. So, you know, some people might have been able to afford blankets or maybe a bigger space. But sometimes the whole families were accused, like Dorcas Good and Sarah Good. And sometimes, you know, individuals were accused who couldn't afford anything, and there was a point where there was no space in the dungeon, mm-hmm. since so many were accused, so they would start building things called coffin cells.
Is this like, oh, those charming Japanese capsule hotels?
Sort of.
Where,
less fun.
A tired business witch can rest their heels and watch some fun movies in a,
yep.
you know, just a perfectly ergonomic cell.
Yes, exactly.
Well, they sound lovely.
So,
real getaway.
They would take you and they would put you up against a wall in the dungeon, and they would start building a box right around your body.
No!
Yeah.
No, I don't like
it. Yeah, it's very unpleasant. So you're just, like, literally, like, they built you in a teeny tiny coffin, so you're taking up less space. And this is about my ancestors, because I had been working at the Witch Dungeon for, I think, 2 years, when I had casually mentioned it to my family, and they're like, oh, yeah, Roger Toothaker, our ancestor, died in a coffin cell.
What?
I told you that.
No, you did.
Yeah.
I just react the same way every time.
Yeah,
I probably
so I
didn't
have
remember.
An ancestor who died in the witch dungeon named Roger Toothaker, and he was put up in a teeny tiny coffin cell and died, as many people did in coffin cells. Yeah.
Well, accurately named. And at least you saved money on the coffin.
Do you know the tide? Like, it was right by the water, so the tide would actually come in and, like, kind of flood it.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
Do you know what they were fed?
Fish.
Worse. Lobster.
Oh, yeah, because...
Raw lobster.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Because it was considered, like, shit people food.
Yeah. Do you know prisoners rioted in the
1800s? Yeah, for more not lobster.
Yeah, so they could... And the result of the riot, they were only fed lobster...
Twice a week?
Yeah.
And the sad thing about... The dungeon is very, very sad. But the sad thing about the preserving of the history of the dungeon, it was destroyed after. You know, it was covered up, and years and years later it was just destroyed. And now where the dungeon is located, there are, what is it, is office buildings or condos?
Yeah.
It's a condos / office buildings.
Not another Walgreens?
Not another
CVS. I was really hoping it was going to be like a chain of convenience stores across
CVS.
There's Dunkin' Donuts down the street, but really it's just like nameless condominium office buildings.
Yes.
The true sign of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Commerce.
Gentrification.
Oh man, the witch trials, man.
I know, right?
It was only 9 months.
It was only 9 months.
And like the reason it all ended.
Months.
The reason.
Was the Christ child was born?
No.
The girls were brought into Boston. They were like, it's like when you bring a celebrity. Like, these girls are just accused of witches.
Oh, yeah, they would bring them everywhere.
And they accused the governor's wife. And he was like...
The governor was like, shut it down.
Yeah, it's done. We're done.
He pulls the big switch labeled witch trials.
Yeah.
Well, it's because
spectral
evidence. But everyone at that time... was fearful of witches, and they thought these girls were like, oh my god, they can point out everyone's. They really were brought around all over New England, and
they got selfish.
Yeah, and well, yeah, they were acting out as their parents told them to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, like Britt said, it wasn't until they accused the governor's wife.
Yeah, and
all spectral evidence was dismissed.
Yeah,
after that.
For those who don't know what spectral evidence is, it's evidence based on hearsay.
Oh, I was hoping I could guess.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, you guess.
Okay. Yeah, what is
hold
it?
On, hold on. Let's back it up.
Okay. All right.
So, hold on. Let me guess what spectral evidence is before you tell me.
Oh.
Okay.
It's evidence that it's the ghost of, like, a murder weapon. So, like, it's a knife, but it's, like, you can't touch it, and it's just constantly dripping blood.
Ghost.
It's very ghost-like evidence because it doesn't exist.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's basically evidence that is based off of hearsay. It's like, oh, I have evidence, Bridget Bishop... her specter came into my room when I was taking a nap. Oh, do you have proof of this? She did it, because lying was considered a sin, so of course I wouldn't lie. But the thing that Bridget Bishop had against her...
What if the person who accused someone of being a witch was themselves accused of being a witch?
What?
Wouldn't that be in double jeopardy? Or would all of their evidence be...
Sneeze?
No, I guess not. Jesus Christ.
Witch!
Witch? Bridget Bishop actually had physical evidence against her, though.
Okay.
There was these poppets that the Blys found, their kid found. And
you mean just harmless dolls?
Yeah, but dolls are illegal.
Yeah, because they were, you know, considered like a plaything.
Well,
when
you illegalize dolls, only outlaws will have dolls.
Yeah.
When you outlaw dolls, only outlaws will have dolls. and only outlaws will have fun.
Yeah.
And then, where will we be?
A dollless society.
A dollless
man. Everyone going into the wasteland to play with dolls.
But a Salem, you know, people out there in the land, Salem is not just about that 9 months. It's kind of like, I like compare it as like, all of Salem history, that's like almost 400 year history, is like a giant ice cream cone. And you got all these toppings, all these fascinating things, like about this ice cream. It's a great sundae ice cream on a cone. One sprinkle represents the witch trials. And you get the rest of this history. That's my philosophy on it. Yeah, it's 9 months out of like 400 year history.
I guess. Yeah, well, it's like two sprinkles.
A lot of people lost land.
Yeah, a lot of people lost land. I'd rather lose land than my life.
And that sprinkle's made of like cat poop and ashes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just.
And it's like melting.
Okay, it's like a chocolate chunk in like moose tracks.
And that chocolate chunk is made out of heresy and hangings.
Ear got poisoning. Yeah. Just kidding. That wasn't real.
Yeah, everyone thinks that, but it's not.
It's not real.
They were on acid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the girls were like legitimately like tripping because there was like a mold affecting the wheat season.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, it's but that's true. It's not true. True. No, they were just acting.
They were just
wild.
Being children.
Just wild and out.
Acting fools.
Wild out, yeah.
Like children.
It's like Nick Cannon's wilding out, but people died.
What I think is funny is...
So, just like Nick Cannon's wilding out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dignity died.
Yeah.
What I think is funny, though, is Danvers is much spookier than Salem when you think about it. So at the very edge of Danvers, there's a bunch of government-owned cornfields, which itself is spooky. I know, because I used to go running by them every day.
The name of my new spook core band is Government-Owned Cornfields.
Government-Owned Cornfields. Oh, can I tell a story about the government-owned cornfields?
Please.
And then I'm going to go on my other favorite thing about the cornfield. Okay, the first thing... this is my second favorite thing about the cornfields. Way back when development neighborhoods like mine didn't exist yet, it was still woods, gangsters would bring their people into the cornfields and shoot them down there.
Hell
in
yeah.
The government-owned corn. Stop! It's not funny!
That phrase is funny.
In the government-owned
corn.
They didn't meet their demise.
Most people would die because they shot them down and then they would bury them elsewhere.
Underneath the government-owned corn.
No, not underneath it. Elsewhere.
Okay,
elsewhere.
Away from the government-owned corn.
Except one day, someone didn't quite die and they dragged their body all the way to the nearest house and they knocked on the door and they told the person inside they were just shot in the government.
This is so serious, Lauren.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't remember the ending to the story.
Did he die?
I think he died.
Okay.
Like on their doorstep. But that ended. Now no one's shot in the government-owned cornfield now. Just young women like me like to go running by it because it's a perfect 1.5 mile one way and 1.5 back. But beyond the government-owned cornfield, there is the Danvers State Hospital, which is what Arkham Asylum is based on.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Session 9, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah.
It's great.
And also probably what that American Horror Story season, I think season
Asylum.
Two, it's probably what Asylum was.
Oh, yeah, straight up.
Which I always think is very funny because, like, my house was literally, like 0.2 miles away from it. And, like, I am a descendant of Salem.
Adam Levine
and
died in the
Adam
Danvers
Levine
State.
Died in it. No.
Asylum.
But, like, I feel like there's all this stuff about, like, descendants of Salem. And I always think, like, oh, well, that's me.
That is
but,
you.
I'm just normal.
Or are you?
Or am I?
Ooh.
With the government-owned cornfield.
So spooky.
Tell your spooky
State Hospital,
story.
People would be, like, tortured and awful things happen.
Yeah,
there.
It's really serious.
It's very sad. Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah, that's a different kind of
spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
My mom tried to steal a brick from there when they tore it down.
Oh, yeah, my mom snuck in. Yeah.
Did she get anything?
I don't think so. But after the condominiums were built in the old section of the Danvers State Hospital, mysteriously they caught on fire.
Ooh.
Ghosts.
They mysteriously caught on fire after a couple of kids snuck in with with matches.
Probably.
And mysteriously smoked cigarettes.
What are the chances?
And mysteriously dropped one because they realized what they were doing was wrong.
Yeah.
Come on, teens would teens don't realize what they do with
their youths.
Well, like, I don't know. Maybe one of them was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this, guys. Come on, Timmy, do it. Timmy. No, it's fine. And he drops it, and they're like, oh, shit, we gotta go, Timmy. Fuck this one up, Timmy.
That is a beautiful area to drive by the way.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It's also very slippery in the winter. They don't plow it regularly. And once my car slid off into the government-owned cornfield.
Oh, sweet.
And I had to have a tow truck bring it out. But hey, that's my story.
Free government corn.
Free government corn.
Sad, because I never had any, like, for all the years I've been in Salem, I've never had any, like, supernatural experiences. No. I mean, there was this...
I guess I haven't either, really.
No, I used to lie to... Remember, we used to, MLAV and I, when we worked at the witch dungeon, we would tell people that there were ghosts in the dungeon, and that they needed to give us, appease them by tips.
Huh. Yeah.
And that's how we got extra money.
Yep.
See, I got my tips the way I would say... Everyone always commented on how I don't have a very clear accent. And I'm like, oh, but you can hear my accent in three different occasions. When I'm drunk, angry, or tired. So if you ever hear my accent, guess which one I am. And I get a bunch of laughs and then a bunch of tips.
Oh, that's nice.
So, it's good to have a gimmick.
I did. Yeah. I had a couple of gimmies.
I had a ghost finder app on my phone. And I would show them it and be like, look at the ghosts.
Like, people will just sit there and, like, listen to you talk about this, like, awful thing that happened in 1692. And then when you get down to the dungeon, they're like, we heard it's haunted here. And we're like, oh, yeah, hang on. Let me pull up modern-day technology.
And this museum, which isn't the actual location, it's totally haunted.
It was built in the 70s.
It was a church. No, it was
a church.
I've got this mental image of one of you, like, you took a little ghost cutout and put it on a stick. And he's like, put your hands behind your back. And you're like, oh, and... tell me if there's a ghost behind me, and you like just move the stick up behind your back so the ghost popped up over your shoulder, like, oh, behind you, and you like turn around, I don't see a ghost.
People would take pictures though of like, because there was like, there was like a beam from like the actual dungeon, like
that was just an old beam,
just a piece of wood, but like people would like take pictures with their flash on, and it's like pretty dark down there, and then they would like come over to me and be like, Look, do you see there's in the flesh? You can see the orbs. You can see the outline of, like, a man's pants.
those are ghost pants.
So we had a coworker.
Are we allowed to talk about this?
Well,
we won't say the name.
Nay.
We'll call him Ghost Dave.
No, it's a female.
Ghost Davina.
No,
but she's not a ghost. She's a coworker.
Coworker Davina the ghost.
Such clairvoyance did Davina have. She often would say that she would feel the presence of a man with with red pants.
I can feel how red they are.
And the crimson. The red pants man was in love with her.
Oh. He was. He may or may not have accosted her a few times.
Which is not funny to laugh at her, to be thinking about.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But,
Devil
in the red pants.
I mean, that dungeon was scary. Like, who knows what was going on down there?
It was very scary.
I forget what we were doing once, but we were very bored at work once, and I think we were doing something with pennies, like organizing pennies or something, and we realized our beloved coworker, who I don't think we should say her name either, but just know she was our favorite and a mother of newborn children. She had been gone a really long time. And we ran into the dungeon because we thought the dungeon had taken her or something. And we were shouting her name, like, where are you? Where are you?
She that just, like, casually time. Came out of the coffin cell, and she was like, I'm working.
I'm working, guys. What is it? But that was the one time I was scared, when I thought they had taken our beloved coworker.
I love that stupid little town.
I love
its ye olde bricks on Essex Street. Yeah,
they're very unbalanced. I love it.
I know.
Yeah, it's got like that old town charm, but it's also becoming like more and more like Cambridge by the day. As gentrification draws near, but yeah, it still like upholds its like old charm with its like its new things too.
And I kind of like how all the shop owners make a ton of money off of the hysteria, but I don't. But I do. But, like, I appreciate how smart they were.
Yeah.
Oh, they knew what they were doing.
Like our beloved.
When life gives you witch lemons, make witch lemonade.
I mean, I love our old boss.
Now with witch's deed.
I think our boss is so smart.
Oh, yeah, our boss.
Oh, genius.
Our bosses smart. Live in New Hampshire. They're just, like, these two, like, grizzled old people. And they, they only work, like, from April to November.
I love them.
But they live so humbly.
Like, I wish they offered us health insurance so we could still work there.
Right? I'd still work for them.
That would be nice. I would too. And talk about the witch hysteria every day.
Unionize.
They bought the trolley. You know
they
that?
Did. They yeah. did. Bought the yeah. trolley.
And all the tour guys got a huge race.
Vertical integration.
Mm-hmm. You mean monopolies?
Yes.
A witch monopoly?
Which
Parker Brothers is Salem product. Yeah, the Parker Brothers had a factory there until 1994.
Oh, fun. Fun fact, Monopoly was created as a critique of capitalism.
All right, do we have enough time for you to tell the coffin story? Because it's a good story.
Oh!
Okay.
How long is it?
It's literally 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Not
can,
even.
Yeah, you can fit that in.
There was a restaurant in Salem, which is now a nightclub, which is we would frequent in college.
Oh, Murphy's.
In the downstairs part, there is a stone wall. That stone wall is part of the oldest cemetery in Salem. And it was, I think, 2005. This was a very, 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 very rainy time. Salem has very swampy,
it has poor
wet.
Streets. Poor streets set up. There's a Floods street called Canal Street, which literally can put a car completely underwater.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, it was just an abnormal amount of rain. And during Mother's Day brunch, a coffin broke through the wall.
Sounds like somebody wanted to still enjoy Mother's Day.
I think actually this is the coffin was of like a small child.
Oh, no, gosh.
So, definitely wanted to enjoy Mother's Day.
Oh, are you my mom? Why are your coffins there?
Because it's attached to the cemetery.
Oh,
the
I'm
wall.
Sorry, I wasn't thinking.
The
yes.
wall's attached to the cemetery, yes. So it's just all the land soaked
it
up.
All
and this
got
happened.
Mushy and then, okay.
This actually happened often back in the day when this was all water. Like when it was, because
yeah.
like I said, a bunch
when,
of Sam's landfills.
When all of this was cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Well, all this is water. It's just like the coffins just like wash out and they're like, oh shit.
Gross.
Dang.
Rebury it.
Oh, guys.
Yeah, this
Salem.
Was fun.
This was Salem. Fun. We love Salem. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank
this
you.
Yeah.
On
Anachronismo!
Hey there, everybody. Max here. So, as per usual, just wanted to let you know you can contact us on Twitter at Anac Podcast, that's ANAC Podcast, or at itsanachronismo@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, it really helps us build our listener base and reach new people, and it makes us smile every time. We'll be sure to give you a shout-out next episode if we do. Also, I want to let you know about a campaign we're taking part in called Two Pods a Day. It aims to introduce podcast listeners to two independent podcasts every day for the month of October. We hope to give visibility to some of the great indie podcasts that you probably haven't heard of. So check out #2podsaday on Twitter and listen more, listen indie. We're almost at the end of October, but I think there are an every other month campaign, so there's a lot of great stuff out there that you can find through them. All right, have a good one, and remember, there's no Google in the past.